Hello, welcome. Tonight's case is Neuberger v. Bluebell. And it took place at the height of the Great Depression. Everyone was losing their job and no one had any money. It was a very troubled time in American history. I know firsthand a lot of the stories of the Great Depression because my dad lived through it. And he was very, very poor. And he would tell us stories about how hard it was, not only on his family, but my dad, who is a very positive person, always used to focus on other folks, saying, you know, these folks didn't have anything. We always tried to help them. And when I knew for a fact, his family didn't either. And my dad never talks much about it, but when you ask him questions, he'll certainly answer it. And it was a sad time in American history. And, you know, if you have grandparents who have lived through that, you ought to chat with them and tell them how brave they were and how wonderful they are that they made it through those times, because they built, that was the greatest generation. They built America, and they turned around and they had to fight in World War II. And it was a very challenged time in world history. And that's the environment out of which this case comes. And as you can see, this is a picture of Wall Street at that time. And Wall Street was the site of the great stock market crash of 1929, when so many people lost so much. And that was reflective of the economy. And the economy took a nosedive that took more than a decade to recover from. And that's where this case came out. And interestingly enough, this case involves stockbrokers. And it was in 1931. they're a firm of stockbrokers that had and bought and sold securities. This stock brokerage firm had a client, and the client's name was Bluebell, and he agreed that he would pay for certain securities that were bought and sold for. And as a result of the stock market crash, because the transactions of all these stocks and all the losses that they he owed the brokerage firm $48,000, which back in 1931 would be like $1 million today. I mean, it was a lot of money. And as a result of that, the stock brokerage firm, he couldn't pay it back. He had problems paying it back. So the stock brokerage account took or wanted to take account that he had in his brother's name, that he was part of the account, and take $34,000 out of that account to offset that $48,000. Well, when he got sued, Bluebell said absolutely nothing. He wouldn't respond to their request to pay the money. They kept saying, hey, you owe us this $48,000. You're going to pay for it. When they take the money out of the brother's account, they don't say anything. Finally, he responds when they sue him, saying, you can't do that. They had an agreement in the contract that they would go to arbitration to settle any of these issues. And indeed, the brother complained that they were taking the money out of that. And the brother went to arbitration with him. And again, Mr. Bluebell would not respond to anybody. And as a result, he was just basically thinking, I guess, that, you know, if he doesn't say anything, it'll go away. Well, it's not going to go away for $50,000, particularly not in 1931, when that's worth about $1 million. So what happens here? Mr. Lubell contends that they can't maintain this action under law because they sue for what is known as a declaratory judgment. Neuberger says, we want to go forward with this, but we don't want to lose any of our rights under arbitration. And does that breach the contract that we have so that, you know, we don't forfeit that $50,000 that you owe us? Kind of a complex set of facts. But where the court comes down is a very simple place. And what they say, what the court says is as follows, that you don't have a breach of contract when you perform the contract. And the parties have performed the contract here for Neuberger. They bought and they sold the securities. They're willing to go forward to arbitration. I think they did it with the brother. The person who has breached the contract isn't Lubell or isn't Neuberger. It's Lubell. Why? Because he hasn't paid him the money. So you have to perform the contract to avoid the breach. And they did perform the contract. They haven't breached it. And the declaratory action here was allowed to go forward to say just that. It says you have to perform a contract in order to avoid a breach. And the court found that the plaintiffs could sue in a court of law to get that declaratory judgment, that they could take that money, that he, the mere fact that Lubell was ignoring him wasn't a defense. He can't turn around and just ignore them and have a defense there. This is the necessity to perform the contract to avoid a breach. You have to perform the contract. You have breached the contract. The court found they did in the declaratory judgment that that Lubell, not Neuberger, was in breach. Why didn't pay the $50,000? And the fact that they didn't pursue the arbitration because he wouldn't agree to arbitration. And the way arbitration works is that one party selects an arbitrator and the other party selects an arbitrator and then the two of them select an arbitrator. Well, Lubell just wouldn't answer the phone. He wouldn't communicate with them. They send him letters, they wouldn't respond. They call him, they wouldn't respond. So the court said, look, there was no breach on behalf of Neuberger. There was a breach on behalf of Lubell. And the fact that they are suing for a declaratory judgment doesn't mean that there was a breach because Neuberger performed every aspect of the contract. The fact that they weren't suing him in arbitration was not a breach of the contract. Why? Because they couldn't get Lubell to agree on an arbitrator. Wasn't their fault. And they said, if an arbitration goes forward, if he agrees to that, that's fine, and that contract will be sustained. But the fact that he's not agreeing to it doesn't give him the right to destroy the contract, and they can sue at law. And that's what happened. So by and large, what does this case mean? It's kind of a complex set of facts, but its holding is important because it was the New York State Court of Appeals. And it was a very important case at the height of the Depression. And what it says is very simple, that when you have a person who has not breached the contract, they can go forward to sue. And that you have to perform the contract to avoid a breach. The other party did breach it because they didn't perform their side of the contract, which said that they had to pick the arbitrator. So at the end of the day, do the contract, you don't breach. Don't do the contract, you do breach. That's where it comes down to. See you next time.